Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Are You Guarding Against Greed?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we're continuing our sermon series on the seven deadly sins, and we're taking a look this week at greed. What is greed? Do you have greed in your own heart? How tempting is greed? Have you given yourself over to it? How can we overcome greed, and how has Jesus overcome it for us to give us the victory? Let's talk today about that deadly, deadly sin called greed and what God would teach us about that. So first of all, what is greed? What does it mean? Well, this is what I wrote for it. I think it's a good definition. It's excessive or an insatiable desire for wealth or gain of any kind. An obsession with accumulating the things of this earth and this world, like wealth, status, power, or gain of any kind. It's an inordinate desire to acquire or possess more than one actually needs. To accumulate, to pile up, to acquire more than what is necessary. It's been said of greed that a person who is greedy is a bottomless pit which exhausts the person in an endless effort to satisfy the need without ever reaching the conclusion. Because what does greed want? As soon as you get what you thought it would give you happiness, you want more. And so it never satisfies. It's always moving the goalpost. An accessible, insatiable desire for wealth and gain of any kind. So, as we're going through the seven deadly sins, we have an animal for each. So last week we did pride, peacock. This week we're going to do greed, and I chose for this one, can you see that? A pack rat. Here's another one. A pack rat. Is there a pack rat inside of you? This is a strange, kind of troublesome, boisterous, loud, obnoxious, troublesome little creature. It's often there and you don't even know it's there, but you can see it through the damage. These creatures get into absolutely everything, gathering debris to build their nests. They get into attics, they get into car engines, they destroy wiring, they steal treasures. You know, there's a very peculiar thing about pack rats, is that they so desire things that even if there's something in their mouth that is very, very valuable to them, if they see something else that entices them, they'll drop that and go grab that which they did not have. These are greedy little creatures. Really troublesome. And what do they love maybe the most? They love coins. Filthy lucre. They like to get these little things. They like anything shiny, shiny stuff. And they'll accumulate that and put that into their nests. Always gathering, always accumulating, always getting, and there's never enough. They want more. Is there a greedy little pack rat in you? Well, Jesus, in the Ten Commandments, God says through Moses, this is one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet. Coveting and greed go hand in hand. Coveting is desiring and scheming to get that which you don't have. It's on account of greed that you're coveting and scheming to get it. Greed is a super, over-the-top, sinful desire, an obsession to grab, accumulate, get more, more, more. It's the, I gotta get it, gotta get more, gotta get more attitude. And it is evil, and it's deadly. Is there an evil pack rat inside of you? Jesus says, it's not what goes into the mouth of a man, but what comes out of him that defiles him. For from within man, the heart, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, and coveting, which is really greed. along with other things. And these evils that come out from inside of a man, these are what defile a man. Is there an evil pack rat, like this one too, a little black rat, hiding somewhere in your cupboards, in the dark shadows of your heart, the desire to acquire and accumulate more and more and more? Is there greed inside of you, friends? It is a deadly, deadly killer sin, says God in Scripture. So you might be asking, well, I've got stuff, you know, I've got wealth, I've got a house, I've got a car, maybe a boat, I've got things, I've got possessions. Am I guilty of greed already? Am I already condemned before we get out of the starting blocks? Well, let's ask this question first. Is it okay to be rich? What do you think? Yes, you can own things and have possessions in this life if done in the right way. We see in the Bible there's a lot of people that were rich. Remember Solomon? He says, I had great possessions and herds and flocks, more than anyone had been in Jerusalem before me. God gave it to him. It wasn't a sin for him to have it, but he had to have it in the right heart. Abraham, he was rich. Lot, you could say, Lot had a lot. The people of Israel, they remember despoiled the Egyptians when they left on the way to the promised lands. Joseph was a rich man at the right hand of Pharaoh. Daniel was the right hand man, so to speak, of Nebuchadnezzar at one point. Esther was the queen of the Medes and the Persians. And David had great possessions. So it's not a sin to actually have money or even great stuff. I mean, Job 42, after God tested Job, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job and gave him twice as much as he had before. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. So it's not a sin to just have money. It's not a sin to have possessions and things if it's done in the right heart. In fact, Paul says, as for the rich in this world, charge them not to be arrogant and prideful, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. And you know what? In the end, God's going to give you everything anyway, right? As Christians, he who didn't spare his own son, won't he also give us all things with him when he comes? So ultimately, God wants you rich. He wants to give you everything he owns, ultimately. So it's okay to be rich. Is it okay to be poor? What do you think? Yeah, I mean, James says God has chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he's promised to those who love him. So it's okay to be rich. It's okay to be poor. Which one would you choose? I think maybe the best option, I'm convinced of it, would be to be between the two. Proverbs 30 says, two things I ask of thee, deny them not to me before I die. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that's needful for me. You know, just what I need. Lest I be full, you know, rich, and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So maybe that's the best option. Neither riches nor poverty, but just what I need, God. That's enough. But any of these, it doesn't really ultimately matter. So what's greed about then? What's God really after here? If you can have money or possessions or not have them, what is greed really all about? Well, here is the sin, and here's the deadly part of it. It's not about what you own, but does it own you? You can have money, but does the money have you? Have a hold. You can possess things, but do the things you have possess your heart? That's the important part. That's where greed comes in. That's the pack rat. That's the evil side of it. You see, God is about our hearts. Amen? He wants your heart to be about him. He says, I'm your treasure. I'm your God. I'm your master. Trust me. Rely upon me. Serve me. Delight in me. If you have things or not, that really shouldn't even matter. It's me. That's your treasure. It's I. But what does greed say? Greed says, I'm going to set my heart, no, rather upon money or possessions or things. That's where my delight, that's where my treasure, that's where my joy will be. In other words, what are you doing? you're getting an idol, right? You're turning money or the things you have into your God. And you're thinking to expect from money and things those things that God says you should seek only from me. It's about the hearts. Put no confidence in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart upon them, God says. Can you do it? That's tough. Proverbs 11 says, he who trusts in his riches will wither, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. So it's about the heart. Don't let it get into you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he says, and he lays it down right here. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You've got to choose. Wow. So to love money or things, or seek from them what you'd seek from God, is to have an idol, and it's a killer. It's deadly. God wants your heart 100%. So you can own money, you can own things, you can have some stuff, but don't let your desire for them own you, or any of these things own you. Because greed is opposed to God. It is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. A cruel God, and comes with a very hefty price tag. How deadly is greed? Well, I could give you a number of references. Just look at 1 Corinthians 6, for example. Paul says, don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts, nor thieves, nor the greedy shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty hefty price tag. Means if you buy this world, you don't get the next one. If you forsake this world for the one to come, you get that one and all things with it. So, beware of greed. It's a killer. Why is greed so especially deadly? Why must we all beware of it to the extreme? Well, number one, because it's a very sneaky thief. Is greed sneaky? Like a little pack rat, do you think? Is it hiding inside of you in some dark corner of your heart and you don't even know it's there? You know, sometimes we can have greed. In fact, we all do. We don't even know it till it's exposed. Can I give you an example? Look at Mark 10, for example. Here's a pretty kind of righteous guy, seemingly, verse 17. He comes up to Jesus, kneels before him even, and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud your and honor your father and mother. Teacher, all these I've observed from my youth, says the guy. And Jesus says, one thing you still lack. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What happened? At this saying, the guy's face fell into great sorrow, and he went away sad, for he had great possessions. What was the problem with this guy? He was kind of seemingly righteous, but there was something hiding inside of him, which Jesus, he didn't even know it until it was exposed by the Lord. Greed was hiding in a dark corner of his heart, and it was his God, his love of money. Is there a dark and evil pack rat hiding inside of you when you don't even know it today? Are you saying I'm not greedy? Well, let me try something with you then. Okay, let's say in this bowl, I have before me a bowl of live cockroaches. Can you picture it? They're all squirming all over in here. It's absolutely disgusting. Who will eat all of these cockroaches live right now for $10? Who's going to do it? Raise your hand. Nobody in here? Why? Because your principles wouldn't permit you to do such a thing? All right, okay. How about for $1,000? Oh, they shouldn't raise your hand there. I have a bid from Jeannie. Sorry, she was fixing her hair. Okay. How about for $10,000? Who'd do it? $10,000, you wouldn't? Oh, how about $100,000? I'll give you $100,000 today. Right now, there you go. I got a buyer. Nobody else? Are you kidding? I think you're lying. How about this? I'll give you $1 million. Sign this check today. Just eat these cockroaches, and I'll give you $1 million. Really? You Lutherans, I don't know how truthful you are here. Just afraid. $10 million. 100. Who will do it? Friends, I think you're raising your hands. I just wanted to find out your price. Chocolate covered. Thank you, Vivian. Yeah. No, you gave up chocolate for Lent. You can't have them. But check it out. It's not that we don't have greed inside of us. It's a matter of what price do I have to pay to buy you, right? Ultimately, at some point, we all have this desire for wealth. You got to be very careful. It's a very sneaky intruder. It hides. You don't even know it's there till it's exposed. So another reason that greed is so deadly is that it lies to you. It's a liar. It's a thief. It's a deceiver. It steals from you. It steals your life and it steals your joy. Think about this. Anytime you want something and greed is desiring, grasping to accumulate, I'll be happy when I get it. What does greed do? The moment you approach your goal, maybe you attain it, maybe you don't. Maybe you attain your goal, but what does it do? It shifts the goalpost. Because it's always going to move it out to the next level across another field, and you have to keep running for it. It promises you joy and happiness, but it never delivers. So long as you have greed, you are imprisoned to despair. He who loves money, says the Bible, will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with gain. This also is vanity. Wouldn't it be great if you could go away from here content today? You'd be the richest person on earth. Billionaires wouldn't have what you have, peace of heart, mind, and joy in the Lord and his treasure. But no, greed steals these things from you. How much money do you really need, friends? You know what your real answer probably would be? Pastor, I'm not really greedy, just a little more than I have now. Right? Don't you all think that? What is that but greed? And here's a really honest and more troubling answer. How much do you really need? Just enough so that I don't have to trust God for my future. You know, it says in the Bible that the rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's like a wall protecting him. Are you trusting in money in your bank account and everything to protect you? Maybe it's better to be poor in that case because you don't have anything to protect you in your bank account. You have to trust God. If you have money, is it your wall and defense? Wouldn't you rather have God to be your mighty fortress? Money is a cruel God. Don't trust it. There have been people who have won sweepstakes, like this family here, the Mukukarts of New York, who won the Irish sweepstakes. They were a happy family. They thought, money won't change us. As soon as they got the money, one of the boys, who was happy, he went after girls. Then the other one, and by the way, that didn't work out. And then the other one went after race horses. That didn't work out. The mother accused the father of hiding all the money, and the family is broken and divided. And within a year, they're all in court for non-payment of taxes. And the woman said, it's the devil's own money. It's destroyed our family. It steals from you. It lies to you. It deceives you. Beware of the pack rat, greed. It will steal your joy. Thirdly, reason it's deadly is because it leads to 1,000 other sins. Paul says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evils. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, a snare, a trap, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all evils. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Think about that. If you have greed, it's not going to stop there. Pretty soon, to get stuff and accumulate and acquire what's not your own, you'll start lying to do it. You'll start cheating to do it. You'll defraud and commit crimes to do it. You'll hate your neighbor. You'll envy him. It'll eat you from the inside out. You might even kill to obtain money, as we see a lot of high-powered people in our world today. They're willing to murder thousands, millions, if they can get billions of dollars from it, it leads to terrible sins. Fourthly, it'll ultimately bankrupt you. You know, that's the thing. It promises you happiness, riches, wealth, and joy if you get it, but it never delivers. For someone came up to Jesus and wanted him to be a judge and divide the inheritance between his brother and himself. Jesus says, "That's not my job. I didn't come here to do that." And he told the parable to beware of all covetousness and greed, for a man's life doesn't consist in how much he has and the abundance of his possessions. Jesus said there was a man who had great wealth. He had a farm, and his crops one year yielded so much, he had enough to store it for many years. He built larger barns than the ones he had. "Take your ease," he said to himself. "Eat, drink, be merry. You have goods laid up for many years, a great retirement." What was God's answer to this man? "Fool! You are an absolute fool. This night I require your soul of you. You're going to die. And all this that you've worked for and prepared, whose will they be?" They won't be yours, because you can't take these things with you from this world. Jesus says, "So is everyone who lays up treasure here on this earth for himself and is not rich towards God." It's going to bankrupt you. If you follow after money and love it, you will be bankrupt in the end. In this life, you'll be bankrupt. Check it out. If I love money, what's that like? I got money on my eyes. What do I see? All I see is money, money, money everywhere I go. I don't see any of the blessings of God. But if I remove this greed, all of a sudden my eyes are open. This is a joyful life. This is great stuff. It's wonderful to walk through this world with God. And if you love and have greed, you will be bankrupt in God at the judgment. It'll kill and damn you. For once again, we read, "Don't be deceived. The greedy will not inherit the kingdom of God." And all that time of your life, when you could have been spending laying up treasures in heaven and investing in eternal things, you spent for stuff on earth that you have to leave behind anyway because you can't keep. Temporary passing pleasures. God, Jesus says, "No, no, don't go that route. Use your time here wisely. Don't hold on to this stuff or grab it. You are just a traveler. You're staying at a hotel. That's the world. Enjoy the TV, okay? Go to the pool if you want to. Lay in the bed. Have the continental breakfast. But don't think that these things are yours to grab. You're on a journey to my kingdom. On your way there, then, rather spend your time laying up treasures in heaven where no thief approaches, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also," says Jesus. So what should you do to conquer pride? What should we do instead? You know, this is simple, powerful, great, and will free you to joy and life. Number one, believe what God said about money and greed and possessions and stuff in this world. Your life on this world, in this world, is not about that. It's about me. Man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. Secondly, believe what I've said in my word, that you all have greed inside of you. We all do. We've got an evil pack right on there. So thirdly, repent of it. Just confess that greed to me. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are wearied and heavily laden by this greed, and I'll refresh you. I'll forgive you your sins and set you free." Every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, he says, except for the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. See there, God's calling on that cell phone right now saying, "Come to me, I call you to believe." Then what faith you would have put in money, put rather in God. Friends, when God is your storehouse, when God is your fortress, not your bank account, you have abundance forever from a God who actually loves you. Not a cruel God like money, but a God who gave his son to be your savior. And you're going to be free in this world and the next. When that money comes off of your eyes, then you'll see the joys of the life about you, and you'll also be able to lay up treasure here for the world to come. For he who is freed from greed is freed indeed. I said that this morning, or this week with Beth, and she said, "Write that one down." for the sermon. Spend your days wisely. God wants you rich. He doesn't delight in your poverty. He wants you fabulously wealthy, but in those things that are true riches. Not this stuff on earth that you can have or not have. It doesn't matter. Let that go and direct your energies, your pursuits, and every ounce of your strivings, rather, to investing in His kingdom, in Jesus, and in the worlds to come, on those things that are truly rich in God's sight, and you will be rich indeed. In conclusion, then, let's rejoice in Jesus, because, you know, He came, it says here in the Bible, though He was rich in heaven, yet for our sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich. The devil tempted Him on that high mountain, saying, I'll give you everything, Jesus. I'll give you the entire world, all money, all kingdoms, all their glory. Just worship Me. Jesus denied that and went forward rather in poverty, forsaking it all for the cross and for the joy of the glory that was beyond it, the kingdom. And He has now set you free, forgiven you all your sins, forgiven you your greed. He says, now come follow Me after true riches. I'll make you rich. You want to be wealthy? Fabulously so? Follow Me. For if God didn't spare His own Son, will He not also, at His coming and return, give you all things with Him? So let's seek Him who is our God, Jesus Christ, and God our Father. Let Him be your great treasure in the heavens, and seek after those things that He delights in, true riches. The Bible says, in His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Are You Guarding Against Greed? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. God bless you.